I've been given the subject this morning. If you are a visitor here this morning, you join us partway through this term. We're looking at a series about prayer, encountering God through prayer. And this morning I've been given this grand title. Actually, I don't even know what it says. What is it? The Anatomy of a Prayer Life. Is that what it says in the notice sheet? Excellent. Is that about right? Anatomy of a Prayer Life. Nobody can find it. It's fine. Anyway, that was the title I was given anyway. So I thought I'd try and be clever and work in, you know, how I could get prayer life aligned with the anatomy of the human body and be very clever like that. So start off with the larynx, and, you know, it's good to vocalize our prayers and speak them out loud, and we need to have a heart for Jesus, and with our lungs we need to kind of breathe in God. But then I got a bit stuck at the kind of kidneys and the spleen. So I won't go down that route today. But that's what we're kind of... What? Stop there. Is that... Yeah, okay. Excellent. So the anatomy of a prayer life, or something along those lines. Excellent. Before we get into that, let's just remind ourselves what church is, as this is going to be a bit helpful as to what I'm speaking on this morning. Church, our word for church, comes from a German word in its origin, which is more about a building, which isn't particularly helpful for our biblical understanding of what church is about. So that's our English word. But the Greek origins, ecclesia, the Greek meaning called out ones. And we see this perfectly demonstrated in 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is our understanding of what church is about being called out by God. Chosen race, holy nation, people for his own possession. And we see that in the Old Testament as well, with the Hebrew there. The word means kind of a gathering in response to the call of God, or a congregation, or an assembly. So just have that in the back of your mind, that's what church is about. It's about a gathering of God's people. Gathering together, and in the context of this series, gathering together to pray with each other, to pray to God, pray to the one who has called us. And we have many examples in the Bible where groups of believers come together, those that have been called out, and they come together and they worship God and they pray together as well. Either they raise their voices together, or perhaps they're led by one person. And we see this in the Old Testament with Solomon at the dedication of the temple. They built the temple, they brought the ark in, and Solomon dedicates the temple to God. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 8, then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel. And he spread out his hands towards heaven. He said, O Lord God of Israel, there is none like you in heaven above or on earth beneath. This picture, this example here of God's people, the assembly of Israel, coming together, being led in prayer by Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And we see it again in the New Testament in Acts chapter 4, where the church comes together. This is when Peter and John just been released, not in prison. Chapter 2, chapter 4. When they released, they went to their friends, reported what had happened, and all the believers were together. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Let's start this great prayer to God. And it continues. And then down in verse 31, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Again, the example here of the church coming together, raising their voices together, crying out to the one who chose them. This idea of a gathering of God's people praying to him corporately. Perhaps more importantly, we see it again in Acts chapter 12, where we have the account of Peter in prison, and the church again coming together, praying for his release, and God sending the angel. Do you remember? His chains fell off, and the angel led him out through all the guards. Just this wonderful miracle, because the church had come together, praying for Peter's release. And there's something very important here that we must learn, that whenever there's a person called Peter in a position of leadership within a church who finds himself in prison, for whatever reason, that the church should come together. Hopefully that's not going to happen. But you get the idea, God's people coming together. And of course, Jesus spoke about this as well, didn't he? In Matthew 18, verse 20. When two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am among them. When two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Doesn't even have to be a large group, a large gathering of God's people. But when only just two or three come together, then Jesus is there in the midst of what's going on. It's still church. It's still God's chosen people coming together. It's still gathering, this idea of gathering together. That should be our expectation, shouldn't it? That when we come together, whether it is just two or three, or whether it is in a larger gathering context, that Jesus is right here at the heart of all that we're doing in the midst of us. Jesus said he would do it when two or three come together, that he would be there. So we can expect that to happen. That should be our expectation. And of course, over the years, we have that expectation, and we've seen that happen here at Aylsham Community Church. We read about things that, you know, the gathering of God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But we can also look over back through history at our own story, story of Aylsham Community Church, of God's people gathering together, praying to God, meeting with God, Jesus at the very heart of it, and seeing the amazing things that, that God has done through that. In 1970, how many people were members of Aylsham Community Church? Well, it wasn't even Aylsham Community Church then, was it? The church. How many people? Anybody know? Jill knows. She's going to come up with an answer. No? Okay. How many people? No. Well, if the website is correct, there was 24 people. This church in 1970, not that many years ago, there was 24 people. And just the story since then has just been wonderful of this people getting together before God and seeing all the things that he would do amongst them, taking big, bold steps and making big, bold prayers, you know, moving away from the Wesleyan Reform Union and different associations and affiliations, changes in leadership, big steps, God at the heart of it, praying out to God, what should we do? Big steps in the journey of the church, even this building that we're in today. Some of you around then, we weren't here then, but just the stories I've heard of, you know, coming before God and the way that God miraculously provided for this building. More recent prophetic words about seeing 10 churches planted out of Aylsham Community Church and the church coming together and praying into that. Jesus at the heart of it and those 10 churches being planted and the numerous people being sent off to lead church plants or be involved with church plants or different churches and different roles of leadership. All because of God's people, God's called out ones, God's chosen ones coming together, gathering together and crying out to God and praying to God. And of course, as we know, the story of Aylsham Community Church hasn't finished there. This isn't it. There's so much more that God has called us to. If we just look over some of the more recent prophetic words and pictures that God has given to us, that the church will continue to be a supply or a resource centre, which will be particularly key for church plants here in North Norfolk. That with us, there will be something of a supernatural attractiveness, both in the prophetic and in the healing. How much we long to see more of that, don't we? Yeah, more of God's healing. Remember the word about being a church with two front doors, not just the front door of the building here, but actually our homes as well. People gathering together with neighbours and just seeing God break out, seeing people coming to know Jesus. After all, he did say that if two or three gather together, he'll be there. A church that attracts waifs and strays, and this picture of the foyer being a buggy park, but not for children's buggies, but for wheelchairs and Zimmer frames and walking sticks and guide dogs. A fantastic picture. What a whole bunch of issues that's going to give us. But God's spoken that over us. Picture of train tracks coming together, a meeting here at Aylsham. Just a place where people will come and be refreshed and equipped and trained. Also a picture of a vine going over the vineyard wall, and that this church is more about just this town of Aylsham. That's about the villages around as well. We've had that in our heart and our desire to see God impacting the villages for a long time, but he spoke it afresh to us quite recently, and we've been responding to that with some of our prayer meetings on a Sunday and taking them out to Corpusty and praying in Corpusty and to Reefham. And we've got it in the diary for coming up soon to going to Erpingham to stand with Charles and Megan with what's going on there already. But just to say, God, you know, we want to see you move in the villages. And a church with a reputation for outrageous faith, increasing intimacy with God, fellowship with one another. Wow, how does reputation come about? Reputation comes about through what other people see and hear. We want the community to see and hear a gathering of God's people who have outrageous faith, who are talking about it. Hey, did you see those nutters up at Jubilee? It's in them. They're just crazy for Jesus. See what they're doing? They're putting their faith into what God's got for them. And look at what God is doing with them. Increasing intimacy with God. We've tasted something of that. Long to have more. We see throughout the Bible the gathering of God's people and what God does. But we have a great story here at Aylsham Community Church of what God has done. And there's so much more to come. Should motivate us, shouldn't it, to gather together, to cry out to God in prayer, because we know in our own strength we cannot do this stuff. It's only when God is at the very heart of it and that we're operating in his strength and in his power that this stuff happens. The larger gathering, corporate gathering of God's people, but with Jesus, when we look at the account of what he did in the Bible, we often see that although he spent time with large crowds, feeding 5,000, 4,000, large crowds following him, that often he withdrew to spend time in smaller groups as well. We know that he had his 12 disciples around him. They would be with him as he ministered to the larger crowds. But he also took time out just to spend time with them by themselves as well. We'll read a bit about that in Mark chapter 3. Just find that. Mark chapter 3. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. Great crowd followed. That wasn't the idea. Crowd, go away. He spent time with them. Spent time with his 12 disciples. But also Jesus spent time just in people's homes as well. At various times. Matthew 26. Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. This is the account of when the woman came and anointed him with the expensive perfume. It's just hanging out, teaching people, praying with people, explaining the kingdom of God with them. Jesus did it at various times. And there's great impact in kind of that whole small group thing. It's important to Jesus just to take time and spend it with close friends. And of course, small groups are an important part of church life here at Aylsham Community Church as well. It's where we can care for one another, we can worship together, we can learn together, we can share, and obviously we can pray as well. And when we pray, we should expect Jesus to be at the heart of our gathering, and we should expect to see things happen. I've just asked a niece if she would come and share and talk a bit about what Jesus was, God was challenging and talking to her about. Should we do it down here or do you want to go out there? Okay. Excellent. So what was it that God put on your heart and speaking to you about a number of years ago now?
Hello. A number of years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I think I was really pregnant with my second son, my second child, sorry. God really spoke to me about just a community of people in their 20-somethings in church life. And God spoke to me just from the verse in Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And I really felt out of that that God wanted just a community of people in their 20s who were connected to vision, you know, connected to the vision of a local church, who had really strong friendship together, who broke bread together, you know, shared communion, and prayed for each other.
Okay. Sorry, I've got one of these. Yeah, you have. Excellent. So that must have been really quite easy, because back then we probably had loads of 20-somethings within the church, so you were able to gather them together and meet with them. Is that how it worked?
I think whilst I really felt God placed it on my heart at the time, my circumstances weren't really such that I could do anything about that, really. So I felt very frustrated, you know, kind of didn't really understand why God had really, really sort of spoken to me and challenged me about that.
Yeah.
Want to carry on?
Yeah, carry on.
Okay. But all I could really do was pray about it. You know, I felt God had spoken to me about these things, and so I prayed. And that's really all I could do at the time.
Yeah, indeed. And I remember back then, actually, it was a time when, as a leadership team, kind of talking about trying to strategize in some ways for the 20-somethings, because actually there was perhaps yourself, Kerry, and that was about it. There weren't many 20-somethings here. And within the demographics of Aylsham Community Church, just for some reason, there's a big gap within it. So God had placed this on your heart. You started praying about it. What happened?
Kind of moving on from that time, and Tim and I got together, and Tim also had a word brought over him just about seeing kind of young men being discipled, particularly. And so we felt our hearts kind of knitted together about that. And we kept praying. had a baby, so again, our kind of circumstances, you know, felt like it wasn't really the right time. But I'd also had just a word for me about just how bad it is for something to be birthed before it's ready. And just, you know, I kind of took that kind of along with just my frustration and perhaps not being able to do anything about what I felt, you know.
Yeah.
And just carried on praying.
Excellent. So let's skip forward to the present day. 20-somethings, a group. What's happening?
So Tim and I now lead a small group who, I have to say, Tim and I are 30-somethings. So
Surely not.
Yeah, I know we don't look it. But yeah, and we have a really good group. We've got about 15 or 16 people in our group now, and it's a real mixture. We've got, I think, kind of 18, 19, kind of, and then 20, a real good group of 20s, and then there's a smattering of 30s. Obviously, bring the wisdom to the group. But yeah.
Excellent, excellent. And that's just amazing. Yeah, praise God. Because, yeah, okay, some of those younger guys were teenagers that have grown up and obviously naturally got older, as those that were 20-something once are now 30-something. But God has just sent a whole group of people to be with us within this church. He, you know, put it on your heart, you prayed about it, and all of a sudden we see a number of families and couples within the church here. You guys know who you are. And, you know, now meeting with you guys, community, being together. And yeah, God does something. Yeah, we pray and God answers those prayers. So what happens next? What's the next step? Does it finish there that we've got a few 20-somethings now in the church and that's the end of it?
No, we're not really satisfied with that, although they are lovely people. no, our heart is really in our group to really be really outward looking, and kind of in 2014, you know, really looking to kind of do something as a group that we could invite other people into. You know, we've run Alpha as a group this year, which was really, really good to do. Yeah. And yeah, just kind of praying about what to do next in 2014, that we can have an opportunity to, you know, to gather more in to our homes. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. Excellent. Great applause. Jesus recognized the importance of getting away from the crowds and spending time with a close circle of friends and seeing stuff happening there. Opportunities to teach people. Opportunities to just gather. To pray together. And just hopefully that example has shown you within Elsham Community Church, you know, we just appreciate so much small group leaders and the groups. And it's an opportunity to get to know people better, to share, to care for one another, but also to see what God has placed on your hearts as a group and to see how you can respond to that, come together in prayer and say, yeah, what is it that God's calling to us to? What is it that we feel that God wants to do with us as a group? You know, a very, very clear mission there with that group about the 20-somethings. It may be about the geography of where you live or, yeah, who knows what it is. But small groups are here for a reason, to get plugged into, to pray together, to seek God, to look after one another, and to look out for other people as well. So we have these accounts through the Bible of these larger corporate gatherings. We look at what Jesus modeled through small groups as well. But of course, there's the opportunity and the time when we just need to come to God in prayer as individuals as well. See this throughout the Bible as well. The story of Daniel springs to mind when he the other leaders are trying to trick the king, and Daniel continues to pray three times a day up in his room, just him and God. And The other leaders just say to the king, didn't you say actually for 30 days that nobody else was meant to petition God and just only come to you as the king? And Daniel's doing this. He's still praying to his God. And the king was trapped, King Darius, and he had to say, yeah, no, you're right. I did sign that decree that nobody was meant to do that. You tricked me. And he had to throw Daniel into the lion's den. It kept the king awake all night, didn't it? I think he was more concerned about it than Daniel was. Because Daniel had his relationship with God. He'd been coming to God in prayer. And God answered those prayers. And when Daniel needed him most, he sent an angel to protect him by closing the mouths of the lions. God protected Daniel. We see it with Paul as well, when he's sorting out issues within the church in Corinth and writing to them and talking to them about how church should be done, about these gatherings and what they should look like. And he kind of ends by saying, yeah, and I pray in tongues, spiritual gift. I pray in tongues more than any of you. Builds me up, helps me in my worship, in my private time with God. I don't need to worry about any kind of interpretation or other people, what's going on. He's kind of expressing his heart there for spending time alone with God, speaking in tongues. And Jesus, of course, is our perfect example. We see it with him as well. In Matthew 14, he finds time. He just needs to go up the mountain by himself and just to spend time with his heavenly Father. I mean, you know, such is his desperation to spend time in the presence of God and pray and come before God that he climbs a mountain. I think I would struggle to even walk up Beast and Bump. And we see it again in Mark chapter 1. Just expand this a bit. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. This is Jesus. And he immediately left the synagogue. He'd been worshipping and praying together at the gathering of God's people in the synagogue. And he entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Again, entering a house, small group, spending time with them, having something to eat. Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And Jesus came, took her by the hand, lifted her up. The fever left her, and she was able to cook tea. So that was nice. Evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. This is a typical day here in the life of Jesus. He goes to church. He spends time with his friends and small group afterwards, and then the whole city turns up at his door, wanting to be prayed for. They'd heard about his reputation for healing. He healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons, wouldn't permit them to speak because they knew him. That must have been one fantastic day. Tiring. But check this out. Rising very early in the morning, whilst it was still dark, he departed, went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed the very next morning. The importance of spending time with the Heavenly Father. Simon, those who were with him, searched for him, and they found him, and they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus healed many the night before. Perhaps there are still others that had come back the following day, they couldn't get through the crowds because the whole city was there and just wanted to be, just to reach out to Jesus and to be healed. Simon and the disciples recognizing the problem, recognizing the needs of the people here to meet with Jesus. But Jesus recognizes the solution. Just to find that place where he can go out and pray and spend time with Father. Because he knows if he tries to do these things in his own strength, he's going to fail. He needs fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. He needs to listen to the voice of the Father. Remember, it said Jesus would only do what he heard the Father say. And Jesus instructs us to do the same as well, doesn't he? Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us to do the same. He says, I can find it. Chapter 6, verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus understood the need to go up the mountain or find a desert place just to find somewhere where he could be alone with God and to pray. And he encouraged us to do the same. Go into a room, shut the door, pray to your Father. And sometimes we need to do that as individuals, because sometimes we need to pray about things that are just between us and God. Wouldn't it be good to perhaps pray about some of those things in a corporate setting with other people around us? Well, it's good to get advice from people sometimes. Sometimes it's just between us and God. Perhaps we need to find somewhere where we can be intimate with God so we can focus and not get distracted by the stuff of life going on around us. And of course, we need to remember that prayer is a two-way conversation. As we find that time alone with God and we speak to him and cry out to him, that we should expect to hear from him as well. And that's so much easier when we're alone and when it's quiet. Jesus realized that importance of prayer in his ministry. If we want to see, if God is calling us to do things, just as he was with Eunice, we're not seeing those things happen, perhaps we need to find more time in prayer with him and pray those things into being. There's a couple of quick, helpful hints, as well as finding that place that you can go off and be by yourself, whether it's up a mountain or on a beach or a desolate place. Perhaps finding this at the same time where you can pray each day would be useful. Perhaps then it becomes part of a regular routine or habit. And for some of us where lives are particularly busy, then perhaps we need to schedule it just like we would any other meeting. But this one's a meeting with God. Do pray out loud. I don't know about you, but I've often found those times where I've found a nice comfy chair to sit in and just started praying in my mind. I'm soon thinking about something else or falling asleep. But actually, praying out loud makes sure we're focused, because we have to think about what it is we're saying, having a conversation with God. If you do get distracted, why not keep a notebook handy and write the things down? Ah, must get some veg for Sunday lunch. Must go and buy that later. Ah, we'll write that down. Forget about it. Put it to one side. And you can get back on focused with God. What other times of the day do you have where you could actually be praying? What's worked for me is as I'm driving into the city to work each day, and I can bung on a worship CD and spend time praying there as well. And actually, once I've parked up and just walking across the city, then I can continue praying as well. Perhaps if you're at home doing the housework, great time to pray whilst you're doing the housework. I've been told that some people do this thing called exercise, and they go out perhaps jogging or to the gym. Is that another opportunity where you could be praying and doing that at the same time? And you know, it's even been said that some people, whilst walking the dog, pray as well and spend time with God and hear from God whilst they're praying. And also, are you keeping a prayer diary? What are the things you're praying for? Are you making a note of those things? Because actually, when you look back, it'll remind you, no, actually, I need to keep praying into that situation, whatever it is. Or actually, you can say, no, God's dealt with that. I've seen breakthrough in that. And actually, that then helps you in your prayers to praise God, to thank him for prayers answered, and to worship him. There's much that could be said about the anatomy, thank you, of a prayer life. I just touched on it here, you know, praying in the corporate setting together, the gathering together with Jesus at the heart, whether it's here on a Sunday morning or whether it's perhaps in a smaller context of being within small groups with a few other people, or whether it's individual prayer. We could go on to speak about, you know, planned prayer or spontaneity or all sorts of stuff. I just encourage you, if we want to see God move, and if God's put things on your heart, then we need to continue to cry out to him in whichever setting it is. We have Sunday mornings. We want to connect with God. We have our small groups. I know we're in a season of training and equipping at the moment, and we're all meeting together. But even in those times, there's times where we get to pray and minister to one another and to pray to God about things as well. We know that coming up, as I've already said, we're going to have one of our encounter prayer meetings over in Erpingham. Have we fixed the date for that? No. That'll be either the end of November or beginning of December, somewhere in there. But we're going to... 17th of November. Okay. Excellent. So we get the chance to go out and pray in Erpingham. God's spoken to us about the villages. Let's stir ourselves to get out there and pray for Erpingham on this occasion. We also get the opportunity to pray for the nations as well. Serbia in particular, when Vlad is going to be with us in November as well. We can just gather with him and stand with him and pray for the nations. We have all these opportunities to pray. And of course, praying individually, spending time with God yourselves, that's up to you. Stir yourselves, find that time, find that space to pray with God. Because he is a God. It's such an honor, isn't it, that the God who created the heavens and the earth, day and night, and the animals and all of mankind, who created all of this, and it's all his, and it's all for his glory, that actually he's given us prayer. This way that we can communicate with him and he can communicate with us. And we just need to make the most of that opportunity. Perhaps we need to even respond more to what's been said already this morning about the things that are stemming the flow. Things in our lives that are just getting in the way. Jesus has removed every obstacle of us having that relationship with God. We need to pray into that. So it was said, God wants to release as a flood of stuff that he's got for us, what he wants to do with us, both corporately gathering as a church, in our small groups, whether it's reaching out to the 20s, whether it's something for us as individuals. God's got stuff for us, stuff he wants to release upon us, gifts he wants to give us. Let's just get before him in prayer and see these things released. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Father God, it is such an honor that we can come before you in this way, just having this conversation with you, seeking you. Seeking your heart. And Father God, we thank you for your Son Jesus. When we gather in this way, at the very heart of our meetings, it's your Son Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the story of Elsham Community Church and what you've called us to do and to be over the years. And we thank you for the words that you've spoken over us about what's going to come. And Father God, we say, will you have your way with us? Would you remove those obstacles, those things that we cling on to that aren't important to you, that would just help us to see more of you breaking out in this place? Father, we thank you for the healings we've seen. We thank you for Margaret's testimony this morning. But we cry out to you. We want to see more, Lord. We want to see more healings in this place. We want to see people queuing up, just as they did at Jesus' door that night when the whole city turned up to seek him for prayer. We want the people of this community to come to this place because they know they will encounter God and they would see healing in their lives. We pray for their salvation, Lord. Pray for their salvation. Jesus, would you reveal yourself to them just as you have to us? For your glory, Lord, we pray. We want to see the villages around us impacted as well. As we encounter you here, we want it to be an epicenter of all that you are doing, that there will just be a rippling effect out into the communities around, to the villages, to the hamlets around. Father God, be glorious, be wonderful as we come to you. Because it is all for your glory, Lord. It's all for your praise, for your worship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.